Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is having a good Sunday. It was a really good service from South Carolina. Thank you, Brother Steve, and all the guys that spoke down there, Phil and James.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, He is worthy to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord and shield, and Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Oh, I don't care what the devil's gonna do. Word and faith is my sword and shield. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Yourselves in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Delight yourselves in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. And He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Praise the Lord, my sword and shield. And Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of the way. Lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. I wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. I wanna see, wanna see, wanna see Jesus lifted high. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Step by step we're moving forward, little by little taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon, strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Step by step we're moving forward, little by little taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon, strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. I wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. 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 glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, 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 to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. 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 I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
Everybody. So, for those of you who have Facebook, you probably have seen that we've been renovating our house. And you may have gotten sick of the posts. One of the things Ricky asked me this week, what have I learned during this process, or what am I learning? What have I been learning during this process of creating a new room on the house, adding a new room to the house so that we can do homeschooling and music and crafts and stuff in there? One of the things I've been learning is I'm not a good multitasker. And when there's something that I consider a priority or that I consider important, everything else, or let me clarify as well, that I want to do and get done, everything else gets put on the back burner. And I mean everything else. In the process of looking at what I've been learning through all of this, I've been seeing how much failure there is in my life, how much I fall short of being that diligent, faithful servant to the Lord, putting Him first. I mean, I've preached for months on and off about turning your eyes upon Jesus. Look back to Him. When you fall, get up and put your eyes back on Him. When you recognize you've taken your eyes off Him, put your eyes back on Him. It's amazing how if anyone's ever preached, you preach on this stuff and it comes back like a boomerang the next week or the next day or even sometimes that same day. But you know, Not being a good multitasker is actually a bad thing in the Lord. And yet, it's a good thing too in the Lord, because if your eyes are on the Lord, then nothing else will matter except what He would have you do. Brother Steve said this morning that it's a function of unbelief to follow anything other than Jesus Christ. And I was thinking of that with regard to my week, thinking, because he was talking about how you can call on the Lord for help. If you need help with homeschooling your child or with knowing what to cook, I mean, if you need help, you can call on the one who can help you. And his name is Jesus Christ. But thinking you can do it will land you up in trouble. Having your focus entirely on the Lord means He will direct your path. He will guide you. He will give you those steps to move forward. If you believe Him, Brother Steve also talked this morning about putting our faith in the big G God, not the little G God. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because when I heard him say it, I've heard it before. When I heard him say it, I thought, what does he mean by that? And what I guess he means by that is we take God and we put him in a box. And he's only able to achieve these limited things that we think he can achieve. And he's not that God. He is a big G God. He has awesome power. He created this earth. He created everything in it. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And yet we limit him to what we think he can do, what we can see or perceive. Or think we perceive. When Lisa sang that song this morning, Will You Learn My Ways? It was funny because I had just prayed and asked the Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And she sang that song and I thought, that's it. That is the culmination of the week. For me, will you learn my ways? Will you learn to trust me? Will you learn to call upon me for everything you have need of? I've been harassing my daughter over the last few weeks because she's constantly hinting around about things. Mom, if it's okay with you, would you mind if I, whatever? Or, are we going to do something this afternoon? Why? What she's really saying is, Mom, may we do this? But she doesn't come out and say what she wants. She beats around the bush. She manipulates. And then she's surprised when she doesn't get what she wants because she didn't ask for it. And the word's pretty clear that you need to ask for what you want. But you have to believe that He is God and that He is a loving God when you ask for it. Being tunnel vision this week on this construction project has been an interesting thing, because when Rick and I talked about what I've been learning, there was a lot that came out. There were a lot of lessons in it for me. There were a lot of things that I know have got to change. And this scripture is one that I know is for me, but I'm hoping that it's for some, going to help someone else as well. It's Matthew 6, starting at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is in the eye, The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And this is the key. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not may be, not might be, not should be. Shall be added unto you. I tell you what, I am somebody who can think ahead, plan in permanent marker. Stone. Ricky said stone, baby. I am one who can, I like to know what's coming down the road. I like to be prepared. I like to be in control of my destiny, I guess is the stupidest way I can put that. I like to know what's going to happen. I don't like surprises. But you know, if you are trusting him for today, then tomorrow really doesn't matter. And seriously, the things of today are enough to overcome. You don't need to put your eyes on tomorrow. You need to put your eyes on him. You don't need to put your eyes on the problems of today or the list of things you have to do today. You need to put your eyes on him. Now, that doesn't mean you can't make a list for today. But your list may change. And you've got to be okay with that. You've got to put him first and let him move you. Let him direct you. It's a function of unbelief to follow anything other than Jesus. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he will add all those things unto you? If you don't, you better get in your closet. Learn his ways. Learn to trust him. which means you're going to be put in situations where you have to trust him. Well, you don't have to. Well, you get to choose to trust him. Put him first and trust him and believe. Seek him and his ways. And all of these things, all the provision that you need, will be added unto you.
I wonder how God doesn't completely and utterly run out of patience. I have two or three things go a little bit off on me and I start getting irritable. Start to getting a little impatient, get a little exasperated. But I think about God and his unbelievable patience and grace and mercy. Brother Steve was talking this morning about, you know, you leave Sunday after service and you are primed, buddy. You are set to just, this week's going to be different. And you find yourself the next Sunday and you're like, what happened? It's exactly the way it was last week and the week before and the week before and the week before and the week before and the week before. Yeah, I was singing the song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, and as I was singing it, you know, it just, I don't want to say the Lord told me, I don't have that confirmation. It's not like a voice came out of heaven, you know, but I had this sense that he was saying, well, open your eyes, dummy. I mean, so much of what is preached today and taught today and talked about today is about God doing something. And that thing has to happen for us to have our sort of epiphany. That is such garbage. It is such utter garbage. There's a song that was out that, you know, Lord, make me an instrument or something like that. And I forgot if it might have been Brother Davies talking about that, you know, you're not the hammer, you're his arm. You know, the action that needs to happen isn't on him to force it upon us for it to occur. And I think most Christians are sitting in a place, whether it's, you know, their week that's going to happen, or their expectation is that there is a, you know, he's just going to reach down there, stick his hand somewhere and manipulate you like a puppet. And that's not God. See, his word says, you know, seek, you'll find. Ask, it'll be given. Knock, it'll be opened, right? I mean, so, you know, if he says that, then he's done it. And if you're not receiving it, it's not on him. It's not on him. It's on you. See, if you don't choose to change and be different, you're not going to be different. If you don't change your direction, you're going to keep going the same way you're going. I mean, I can be driving down the road and see a T-junction coming and tell my car, boy, you really need to turn left. You really need to turn left. Crash. I mean, is it the car's fault or is it my fault for not turning the daggum wheel? Scripture that came to mind to me today is, gosh, you talk about one that's about to the core of all things, quote unquote, Christian. John chapter 3, verse 14, starting here. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. If you know the reference of that, the children of Israel had rebelled against God. And in his frustration and anger, he sent in, justifiably so, let me just put this, not implying whatsoever that God was unrighteous in any case, but as a punishment for their rebellion and disobedience, he sent in serpents into the camp, and anyone that was bitten by that serpent was, those serpents died, period. Died, over, game over, done. And there was a great destruction being wrought on Israel or at the time, and he told Moses, make an image of the serpent, put it on a stick, and anyone that looked upon it would be saved. Well, guys, that's an analogy. It's a type and shadow of Christ. See, you are bitten with sin, and you are going to die, and there is no solution. There's no remedy. There's no cure. There is no way out from under that death sentence. You are done, folks. You're a Pop-Tart in hell. That's an old phrase from Brother Davey. That's a long, pulled that one out from the archives. But it is what you are. There is no other way to try and look at it. There is no remedy. You are done. You are cooked. You are over. But if you look to Jesus and you look to the cross, guess what? You can be saved. And in the same way that that serpent was made into an image and set forth and then the people could look at it and be saved, Jesus was put on that cross that you might be saved. 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I like the phrasing here. It doesn't say shall not, it says should not. See, all of this comes down to your free will. Will you believe God or will you doubt him? It comes down to your exercising your choice. It talks about the Ephesians, I hope I got this right, their election of God. Not saying they were elect. But they elected him. They chose him. We have an election coming out. We are going to exercise our power of choice between one or the other. But it's our choice that we exercise. If I want to vote in this election, I have to go down to the voting place and cast my vote. If I sit in my house and say, I want so and so to win, or I want such and such to happen, and I don't get off the couch and go cast my vote, nothing is going to happen. It's, you know, not much is going to happen anyway in our election, but you guys get the point. The point is that I actually have to go exercise my choice. And you have to exercise your choice to believe God, to choose God. If you really, 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 really want things to be different, they will be different. Do you understand? If you really want to just blast forward in the Lord, you're going to do it. Now, you can say you want to. You can profess it. You can flap your tater traps and say that you want that to happen. But if you don't exercise your choice to make it happen, which is simply to believe God, it's not going to happen. That cycle of every Sunday walking into church and going, oh man, boy, I really wanted this last week to be different. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I mean, just be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself that you really, really didn't want it to be different. No, you wanted there to be a change, but you wanted God to reach down, grab you, and make you do what was right. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do it. I can tell you all day long that I'm fat and I want to lose weight. No, I don't. I don't. Because if I did, I would. Do you understand how that works? If you really, really wanted it to be different, it would be different. And that's why God puts in here, should. Should, not shall, should. Because he's made a way. See, his way is there. It's, the path is clear. It's wide open. It's available to you to walk it, to be successful in it, to conquer in it. It's right there. He's already made the path. He's done it. It's already been accomplished. But he's not going to reach down and force you to do it. That's not how God works. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, twice now. He has made a way. Has he not made a way? The scripture Sue read was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Not only the things that we need, not only the things that we need for our daily life, but also all the spiritual things we need. See, God hasn't brought you here to fail. He hasn't provided us the tools, the means, and the guidance just to sit up there and laugh at our failure. He sits up there with an expectation of hope that we'll get it. That we'll get it. That we will seize the opportunities and put him first and trust him and allow all those things that he has already set in space for us to walk in, for us to actually take part in it. For us to engage in faith and see that change. The big decision that you have to make, the real core, is just to trust God. In everything. And not just something, but everything. Sue's talking about multitasking or that or the other. And truthfully, multitasking will screw you up. But being able to switch tasks at his command is what you need. Amen. Splitting your focus will just hose you up. That won't do you any good. But if you focus on him and allow yourself to be directed at any place he would have you go, at any time he would have you do it, that's another story. And that is a skill set that you need to learn. Amen. And the way you learn it is being put in those situations to do everything that is set before you diligently as unto him, and allow yourself to be moved from one to the next at his direction. That takes practice. It takes a keen ear, and it takes a willingness to hear, and it takes a willingness to not have your own agenda. And that's the tough one. Because you get tunnel vision, or you get super hyper focused on what you think you need to be doing, and he wants you to do something else, and that's where the rub comes in. That's where the challenge comes in. That's where, you know, sparks start flying and friction start happening and things start to get messy. But they don't have to stay that way. See, this verse that is so, you know, it's almost said so much now that it's become a, you know, a cliche almost. And, you know, from a strategy perspective, you know, the devil's no idiot. Oh, he's going to lose, don't get me wrong. But he's no idiot. And from a strategy perspective, distorting that concept and just sort of inoculating people to it is pretty smart. Because then people actually don't see the power that is in that verse. And it's an extremely powerful verse. For God so loved. See, the world was lost. You were lost. It's gone. You were dead. You didn't know it yet, but you were dead. And he loved you. All right? He didn't hate you. He loved you. All right, let's start with that for just a moment. God loved you. Not when you deserved it, not because you were special, not because you were awesome, not because you were wonderful, but in spite that you were none of those things, God loved you. Now, in this it's talking about he loved his creation, the world here, not you. It doesn't like single you out. But in the other passages of the Bible, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Okay, so the principle I am talking about is a valid principle. But God loved the world, his creation. He loved. You see, loved, L-O-V-E-D, loved. He wanted redemption for his creation. And he had planned that redemption from before he said, let there be light. So he had already predetermined there was going to be a way of redemption for that which he created. God loved the world. And he gave his what? Only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son. His own Son he put as the sacrifice to be that which redeemed the world. Not as a guaranteed redemption. And this is the thing that's so amazing. And this is why I go, wow, how does he do it? Well, he does it because he's God. And his ways are higher than our ways. But he didn't give his Son as a guaranteed redemption of that. He gave it so that those that believed might be saved. Should not perish. He did it for those that would choose to believe. You see, the condemnation that exists in the world isn't God condemning the world, because the world's already condemned. You see, his act that he has done is one of deliverance from the condemnation. His act of his Son going to that cross and dying for you and dying for me was not to condemn those that didn't believe, but rather to make a way out from under the existing condemnation that we all were under. And if that is the character and nature of God, why wouldn't we trust him? And Brother Steve hit it, the nail right on the head. Fear. Sue, why do you want to know absolutely every detail to the nth degree of anything that's going on? Because you're afraid. You're afraid of a thousand different things. You're just afraid. Stop being afraid. There was one thing as we were going through this process, and it was funny, you know, this is like ramping up this, you know, the quilt thing, right? We had that quilt Sue was trying to do, and she was like a robot, a non-waterproof robot somebody had dumped a 5-gallon bucket of water on. I mean, there were sparks flying and arms flailing, and it was kind of humorous to watch from a distance, but yeah. So she's all talking about, you know, this quilt thing, and she's trying to sort out, she's never done it, she's trying to sort out the end result. I said, honey, you've put a quilt on the frame before. Well, yeah. I said, go put it on the frame. But look, do you have to put it on the frame? Well, yeah. Well, then just go do that. And then ask the Lord, what's next? See, if you know that you can trust him, you don't have to know the next thing, because you know he's a good God. If it says that he loved the world, right? And we have scripture that talks about that he gave he did not withhold his only son. Why would he then withhold other things? That's a bad paraphrase. But we see this over and over and over and over and over and over, the testimony of the goodness and gracious and tremendous mercy and grace of God. It's without, I can't see how deep that goes. I just can't see that far, but it's far. So this week we have an issue with the countertops, and we have to figure out what's going to happen because we're going to build this desk for her and Naomi. I think, you know, I'm excited that this is going to be really cool and a nice resource for us in the music room. And I'm excited. I also want to see this done, but I also know that construction doesn't turn on a dime, and there's all this little tedious little finish work, and it's all the detail work. Yeah, and Sue says in TV they get it done in half an hour, but that is so deceptive. But it's all the detail work that takes just days and days and days and days. You know, we have a small room and it takes a week to paint it. Why? Well, it's all the detail work. All the detail work. Anyway, so we need to get these countertops in. And I said, you know what? The one thing we need to know is we need to know from this company, what it will they install it and what will it cost? But what if we, look, I don't need to know anything else, but will they install it and what will it cost? That's all. I don't need to know any. I don't need to know. I will determine a course of action based on that information. For me to spend brain power beyond that is completely and utterly unnecessary because it's just assumption. I'm just guessing, and why waste all the time on the supposition and guessing when we just don't know? Get that answer, then we will make the next choice. And gosh, you know, it was the best imagery I have. If you've ever seen the movie The Mask, where he takes the bomb and eats it and then explodes on the inside and then burps the fire out, that's about what I thought I was, you would have thought that's what I was asking her to do, because I have the visual, you know, she just couldn't wrap herself around just that one thing and and she, you know what she did? She went down there and find out that they won't install it. They don't know what it'll cost. And therefore, now we know that that's not the direction we're going to go. So we wipe everything out. And then she calls me in a panic and I can hear her frustrated. And this, what if that and the other? And we got it. I said, look, relax. We'll sort it out. Look, we're going to sort it out. I'll talk to Steve. When? When I talk to him. Steve's our contractor. And Steve means well. He's got stuff going on. I mean, it's not like he's intentionally trying to drag things out. That's not Steve. I know Steve. He's been good to us for the 6-7 years we've been here. He's been awesome. So if something's going on, there's a legitimate reason for it. I know this. So I said, look, when I talk to Steve, what are you going to talk to him? I said, I don't know. When I talk to him, and we'll sort it out. So I talked to Steve. We got it sorted out. No big deal. But just relax. And, you know, the addition of the house is like such an insignificant thing. Amen. In the course of our existence. I mean, how long are we going to be here? I don't know. God may tell us. When it's finished, God will say, all right, time to sell. All right. Okay. I would have been nice to use it once, but okay. Maybe somebody that, you know, is going to buy this house really wanted that room out there, and that's why we're building it. I don't know. Maybe it was a complete waste of time and money on my part. I should have done it, but we're doing it, and it's getting done. And in any case, I'm going to trust God, and I repent if it wasn't of him for me to do it. And Lord, please forgive me and let it be a blessing in the end. But I can't sweat what happened yesterday. I can choose now to be better about seeking him in the first place. See, if I want things to be different for me, I got to be different. You understand how that works? See, the responsibility of things being different are not on God. They're not on him. They're on you. 100% on you. Because he's already done it. And he has covered all the bases. The one base he won't do is force you. The one thing he will not do is go against your free will. So, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep waiting for God to reach down and make something happen for you? Because you're going to be waiting a very long time. Or are you going to accept the truth that he is God, and in him nothing is impossible? Nothing. And he's a good God. He's worthy of serving. He's worthy of believing. He's just a good God. Thank you all for listening this morning. May you all have a very blessed week.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.